1 Corinthians 12. I want us to, we talked a little bit about it on Thursday, and I asked each of you that were here to think about it. But we'll be down to it. Verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. And the idea of being able to say that Jesus is the Lord, the better translation of that is Jesus is my Lord. The word Lord there is the Greek word kurios. And kurios was kind of a strange word for Lord, because it means, it isn't really, but there's all kinds of translations for it, but fundamentally it means control. And therefore, when you say Jesus is my Lord, it's the acquiescence that Jesus is in control. That sounds so simple. But it says, no man, except by the Spirit of the Lord, can say that Jesus is my Lord. Let's go to Isaiah 9 a minute and see if we can see something else. Let's go to, we'll start in Isaiah 8 something. But anyway, before I want to... I want to remind you of the cloud that Israel dealt with in the wilderness. To Egypt, the cloud was storm, darkness, blackness, without any clear light of what was going to happen. It was confusion of face. Same clouds, same situations. To Israel, it was light. The light that led them, the light that controlled them. Now think about that as we read this. Go to Isaiah 8, verse 13. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him alone be your fear, and let him be your dread, and he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples, and I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living, to the dead, to the law and to the testimony? If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And they shall pass through it, hardly bestead, and hungry. And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves, and curse their king and their God, and look upward. And they shall look unto the earth, and behold trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish. And they shall be driven further to more darkness. Now this isn't a historical phenomenon, it's an eternal fact. let's continue. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously affect her by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government or the control shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and his peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The government shall be upon his shoulders, not upon yours. I can run around all day and say, praise God, God is in control of my life and Jesus is Lord. Until something happens to me that I perceive as negative, or until something that I desire doesn't happen the way I think it should. At that moment, everything in you cries out to take control. And at that moment, for you to say that Jesus is my Lord, the only way you can say that is by the Holy Spirit. You can say it all you want. You can mouth the words, Jesus is my Lord, or Jesus is Lord. But it's your response to the stimuli that you perceive as negative that tests whether or not that's true. And that's the only reason time exists. Are you starting to suspect that maybe the only thing that you can do in life is to bring forth fruit necessary for repentance? You can't do any positive thing. You understand that? You can't do any good. You can think you're doing good. That's why it says, behold, do good or do evil, that we may behold it together and be dismayed. But what does it mean to say? And the reason all this is necessary is because if you don't understand what the Scripture means when he says, Jesus, no man speaking by the, except by the Spirit of the Holy, except by the Holy Ghost can say Jesus is Lord. If you don't understand that, when the gifts of the Spirit are shed on this body, you will misuse it. You will try to use the gifts of the Spirit to further control. Can each of you say that Jesus is Lord? Is my Lord? Can you say it down from the belly? That no matter what transpires around you, no matter what circumstances you find in your life, that Christ is my Lord? Can you say that? Let's go to Matthew 3. In those days came John the Baptist. Remember what it says about John the Baptist. He was the spirit of Elijah. If anybody is preaching, They too must be the spirit of Elijah. That's why they drink Elijah's cup. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and his leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. They went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea, all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in the Jordan, confessing their sin. And when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers," that's too little flowery, "you sons of the serpent, you spawn of the devil, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruit meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees, therefore every tree which bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather the wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Have you ever had anybody call you the son of the serpent or a child of the devil?
Besides you?
Yes.
Yeah. Besides you, no.
Am I the only one that's ever called you that?
My mother.
Well, your parents, you little devil.
Yeah, but she didn't believe it. What I want to go with this is I want you to tell me tonight, if you will, where you don't believe that Jesus is in control.
So we were talking earlier about this insurance thing. It's like you're telling me not to do anything is denial. I was thinking, but if I think about it, I get freaked.
Get freaked then.
I worry. What if this happens? And to me, that's unacceptable. To me, that's no faith. That's just... I'm trying to think.
You know what the opposite of love is? Sloth. And what is denial but the ultimate form of sloth?
I guess that's what I want to see, is because
you've put it in the closet.
I guess because I think nothing really else can be, they're not going to do anything.
Well, you said God is forsaken.
So the opposite, I mean, I don't want to be freaked, but I mean, I'm trying to think, what is the position then of saying, you believe God, and yet you're in a sloth. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you are faithful to what is set before you. You came to me for advice. I set two things for you to do.
Right.
And you put them in a closet.
I did one of them, I thought.
Well.
She gets credit for that one.
So yeah, 50%.
Yeah, well,
I agree with you. No, I agree with you. I'm just thinking, I don't want to go to the freaked mode either. You know what I mean?
Too late.
Too late.
How do you know you'll freak?
How do I know I will freak?
What is the fruit of your mind of freaking? What does it appear to you? How do you...
Sleeplessness. worry, scenarios. That
yeah, but isn't it true that the real thing about freaking to you, the word freak is a weird word to use it for that, but isn't it the basis of freaking is being out of control?
Yeah.
Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my control. Therefore, I present everything to Him. I put nothing in the closet in denial. Do you realize that if everything that's in denial in this room were brought out into the open, what would happen? There'd be a screaming Mimi's here, because you'd be out of control. What have you stuck in a closet? How many thousand things are in that closet? Well, the reason you've stuck them in the closet is because it gives you the illusion of being in control. The illusion of being civilized. Jesus is Lord. There's nothing, just another equal way of saying it. He is Lord as there's nothing in my closet. What's in your closet? That's the area that He's not Lord. And if He's not Lord over all your, well, you understand that it's either all or nothing?
I was going to say, I finally reached a point where it's like one of them pops out, you know, or something pops up like, well, you know, any tiny bit of doubt, all of a sudden I feel like the whole thing is like,
right.
Let's forget it, you know. Either He's all there or He's not there at all. And it's
that's
like,
right.
I'm going this way. You know, so it's, I have no other choice but to turn my back.
That's a blessed position to be in. I'm in the same position. I cannot think. I mean, if, you know, with this, well, I think I need to be in control of this point over here. Well, I want us to try to empathize what it truly means to say that Jesus is Lord at this moment. It means that there is nothing in your life that He isn't in control of. You may not like it. He didn't ask you to like it. But He asks you to acknowledge it. Jesus is my Lord.
That's like that one night when, you know, when you said that, you know, just see Christ as my Redeemer. It was just like, I mean, you kind of have to flush all that in order to see that. Because if you hold it all, then it's, you know, it's like in the way. It's like, you know, that's,
yeah, you can't get to there.
You can't get from here. I mean, if He's not my Redeemer, then I'm stuck with all this stuff. You know?
Sometimes He just drives too close to the edge of the cliff.
Hey, that's
Harry.
A good one, Harry.
That's hilarious.
No!
We have another tree.
It's not a car, but it's a warehouse.
Like, couldn't we drive just a little bit closer this way? Can we?
Give me
the keys.
I'm sitting back there with my plastic
chair. Yeah.
That's just funny.
No, you're sitting in the passenger side, you go like this on the brake. Like the brake pedal.
The little plastic Jesus in the back.
Mary, yeah,
it's
such a
true. It's true.
Piece of worship.
Did you tell everybody that story?
Which?
Yeah.
That was a morning Bible study you told me.
No, it was here, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh,
we didn't hear that. Let's hear it.
That's why I'm asking you.
Well, that's a reference to something like it. It's like, all my life I've spent.
Well, tell them the predicate.
I don't know what the predicate was. Well, that's how I was going to get to it.
All my, you're going it backwards.
No, this is just the way I told it. All my life I thought that I was learning the rules of how to fly a 747. And finally I got in the cockpit and I'm flying a 747. When I find out that what I'm really doing is I'm in the back seat of my parents' car with one of these little plastic steering wheels, you know, a little horn that goes, and it's not attached to anything. I'm just sitting back there trying to steer this thing.
Harry's the Lisa Simpson of the, on the high place. Yeah.
The what?
The Bart Simpson's
sister.
The Lisa Simpson. The opening scenes of the film.
Walks a little bit. Walks a little bit and then goes.
I just keep thinking he's going to go right over the edge of the cliff. And I'm
well, back to the, I mean, do you realize either that scripture, Jesus is Lord, means what I've said it means, or it's kind of a stupid scripture.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, anybody can run around and say, Jesus is Lord. Okay. What I want us to get to is I want you to tell me where you do not think that Christ is in control.
I thought you were going to be the only one.
I'm whatever anybody's mad at me.
No.
No, true.
That's not true.
What?
Oh,
jeez. What?
No, it's whenever I'm mad at you.
No, it's whenever
or a couple of people.
Anybody. No, not if anybody's mad at me, I get upset.
Where else don't you think that Jesus is your Lord? You certainly don't think Jesus is your Lord about half the time with Paul or Barbara.
Oh, you mean like when people are in their Lord?
No.
Oh!
I didn't hear that.
I said he thinks he's his Lord, he just doesn't think he's their Lord.
No, to say that he is my Lord means that everything in my life is imperfect. He is in control of. There's not there, and therefore, if he's perfect, then nothing in my life that's in any of my sensory range of the senses is in any other condition other than perfect.
Any person, place, or thing.
Any person, place, or thing. So to say that, when I say that Jesus is my Lord, then I'm saying that. Now, again, I would ask you, what other places don't you think that Jesus is your Lord?
This isn't my test.
I'm the
only person in this room. I don't know.
You're next on the dinner list.
Anybody else think of any?
Oh, man. Get the lock off. Mike goes,
you're up.
Maybe warehouse. Storage bin.
Storage bin.
Yeah, it's not a closet.
Well, speak it.
I lost the key. Yeah, I lost the key.
Anybody?
I lost the key.
Mine is something I've been replaying for the past several hours is when I get in, feel like I've done it wrong. I feel uncovered, or like God's not Lord, or I wouldn't be getting it wrong, or something. You know? When you know, I was realizing earlier, I guess, just to live is if you don't care if you get it wrong, you know, repent, you go on. But just I'm always hung up on
trying to get it right beforehand.
Yeah. Whereas if it seems like you just live and get it wrong, so what? I guess.
Yeah.
So what? Deal with it in the moment, but all this anxiety of trying to avoid getting it wrong, or when I get it wrong, to try to defend and justify. You know,
well, the reason I just want us to see if it triggers in any of you areas that you may not have thought of, because again, the purpose of all this is to bring forth. You're not going to change, you can only repent. You bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. That's all that we're about.
I just keep running that stupid oblivion wall. I think it's gone for an instant, and then it just keeps coming back, and I just can't believe
it. But you know what oblivion is. You know what it is.
Damn right.
It's denial.
Oh, yeah. And the closet, I mean, jeez. Talk about a warehouse. I got huge amounts of stuff, didn't I? Getting it out, I mean, I guess I'm frustrated in that sense, because now I'm convinced that there's so much there, I can't get it out the door. You know, it's kind of like overwhelming.
That's why it says, confess your fault one to another that you might be healed. I mean, as I said, in stealth, much to the chagrin of some of the stealth members,
Larry.
If you're not in a position, if there's anything that you desire, that's the place that you don't, that you think that Jesus, that's where you can say or should be able to be saying that Jesus is not my Lord.
Yeah, that's a real zapper for me because, you know,
I want a relationship. Sometimes I pout about how, you know, because I have a child, nobody wants to date me because I have a child, and that makes it harder than if I were single. And, you know, that's wishing I was in some other state of being. But I have, you know, but then I realize, you know, whenever that moment comes up, that, you know, that I'm wanting someone to serve. I'm wanting that person to be what Christ should be to me. And so I you know, at that instant, I know I have to go back to there and say, you know, I'm right. Yours, Lord, and then just kind of.
I don't think there are many guys that wouldn't go out with you because you had.
Yeah, that didn't ring true at all.
I think there's probably a lot of guys wouldn't go out with you because you're part of some weird tribe or because you're a whatever, but.
Yeah,
I guess it's because, I don't know if you're in the same place, but I've been slammed with it before. You know, believe it or not, it has happened.
It's an ass.
And, so I feel like, I'm just sort of like cutting it off before it starts because then I don't...
It's an option. It's protection.
Yeah, I don't feel like I could handle, another, I don't feel like I'm strong enough to deal with that.
Well, somebody tells you that, just tell me.
The harsh thing is find somebody that's interested enough in God stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think that that's an issue. You don't give them the God stuff before you go out with them.
See, that's what we talked about.
God's questionnaire.
You don't have an agenda about it. I mean, Remember again, everybody comes. I mean, if that's why I don't. I mean, I encourage people to date. You shouldn't just go.
Well, it depends on who it is. I'm talking about people that I already know. I have to already know them. They're not going to ask me out. So they already know them.
Well, that's not true. If somebody strikes up a conversation with you in Whole Foods.
No,
or Tom Thumb. Could be Tom Thumb.
Yeah,
about
the tomatoes.
That's a big place.
At the 7 store,
you know.
You have to get out.
Nobody strikes a conversation.
But anyway.
Except 85-year-old ladies.
It's a protection. It's definitely a...
No question, and it's protection. But worse than a protection, you've got to see it. It's a place where you have said that Jesus is not Lord.
Well, I just feel like it'll be so obvious that I won't have
to... It's a place where you have said that Jesus is not Lord.
You got no allies.
Can you say, it's a place where I've said Jesus is not Lord?
Yeah.
Can you say that?
Yeah.
You know, when y'all talk, it's really not your perception about you. When you're attractive, desirable, I mean, many guys will go out with you for a variety of reasons, and they wouldn't immediately necessarily be turned off.
But you don't... It isn't natural to say, I've got this group of people that have to pass muster and you have to believe everything I believe before I go out with you. I mean, that's crazy. Yeah. It's just not that way. Just be abandoned. Don't give it any importance at all, one way or another. Just be you. But don't let your mind play these comparison games with the past. Because what you do then is you lock on some one experience that happened, and it becomes the norm. It becomes the general condition. And you have it's protection. It's like Jim's haircut. It's the same thing. Jim Pinson's lack of a haircut, the way he wears his hair, that's to give him the option to go back. He can go back in the street and be accepted. It's part of his control. It's a control thing. Well, and the same with you. You believing or even having in your mind at all that there's any kind of a hindrance, or you that the Bible study has anything to do with anything, is the same thing. It's so that you don't It's so you can justify being miserable. It's crazy. Don't even have these ideas about past or anything. Let them all be gone. And let's say now, from this moment forward, Jesus is Lord of my life. I just live.
I always think these things will like fall away one day.
No, they are to be repented of now. Not to be thinking, well, they're going to fall away one day. That's horseshit.
I mean, it's really true. The the more it's tied to the emotions, the harder it is to.
Yeah, that's.
You know, to, I mean, it's like it's in the nervous system. It's, I mean, it's become a, you know, who I am or who I think I am. You know?
For you to live as Christ, nothing else exists.
You know, so if you don't feed it, and it'll like die away. I mean.
Well.
Stuff takes time to.
But you don't understand. In doing it, you're feeding the old man.
Kind of a fine line between denial and...
You understand what that means? In denying it, you're feeding it. Because you're giving it importance.
Yeah. Yeah, I start getting in that loop thing.
Yeah, it's like a the Mobius strip.
You said the crystal, I mean, that's kind of... That makes sense. About how if you don't have peace in it, it's not abandoning it, it's denying.
It's feeding it.
Well, you deny it, but you leave it in that.
Yeah, but it, no, it's not. It's there's no such thing as
denial. Not you deny yourself.
I know it's denial in terms. It's a lack of acknowledgement. If I ignore the elephant, it'll go away. But it's not ignoring, and it's not going to go away. It's going to get. You're feeding it by that act, because it's the antithesis of the abandonment of self.
Yes, it's like you, I'll just leave it alone and it'll all work out.
Yeah.
It'll all, like, just fall together.
Oh, that's, I mean, we just had this talk.
Well, but that was the missing piece for me, was something, well, you can't do anything about it, but that's not really the truth, because you can let it go, or go out with people, or I can deal with the issue at hand, or, and then if there's no options, then you're faced with,
Yeah, but my point to you is, again, God is never going to, you're never judged by what you don't have. You're only judged in being faithful to what's set before you. And so the idea then, but if you are taking what's set before you and you're burying it, look what he did to the person that buried it. You're not using it. It doesn't matter what the thing is. It's not being it's not being dealt with. It's being buried. And so there's no abandonment of self. There's no it's the ultimate of being careful. I'm being careful for it. Okay, does everybody see that clearly?
Yeah, this is blowing me away. I mean, I started earlier in the day, but just in this marriage, I mean, my mind talk has been so extreme about getting it right that I was convinced that eventually you would just take your hands off it because I screwed up so much, or even that you would postpone the wedding because I couldn't get it right. And just I've become bound up with, in this one particular arena that I've seen, where just not stepping out of line or, you know, not getting there. That's crazy.
Stupid.
Crazy word.
Well, it's the ultimate of bondage.
Yeah, and it's eyes on myself, because walking a tiptoe does not get it wrong. If we get it wrong, we'll be mad, or this happens, it's crazy.
Smack him upside the head, will you?
I'm involved.
You forget the only thing that the human condition can do consciously is to bring forth the fruit that's necessary for repentance. Then if that transpires, then the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform what he's appointed you to do. But if you are careful for it, then you stop God from working, because you create you fill the space that God normally works in. So you've got to create the vacuum by abandoning yourself, by repenting, and not having a stand on anything. Do you understand that you saying that, well, this thing about soul, that's a stand? And it's a stand which has kept the Holy Spirit from operating that part of your life. And it's the place where you've said, Jesus is not Lord. Well, he's Lord in some parts of my life. No, he's not. He's either Lord in all and in all, or it's nothing.
I just felt like that was where I was supposed to be. So, you know, for me to wish that I was someplace else, you know, was
But you were doing it.
To do.
Yeah, but you were creating. You were already.
But I was still doing it. True. I was still doing it. Yeah.
If you had the desire today, and even, I mean, if that's not given to the body, it's something that's hidden in you. I mean, because you don't know who knows somebody or who does.
What happens? What happens in the economy of God if someone that Mike had met in a business, the perfect person, but he didn't know you even interested in dating?
I find myself frustrated too. I really have seen lately that I need people getting in my face, and especially with you lately, I know there's something there that you aren't yelling back at. But it's just not coming out of you, and you're holding back. And then some days later, I hear, "Well, I should have told you," but and I just want to reinforce that I really need to hear it in the moment, at the time, now. Bam. Everything.
Yes.
Yeah. Man, I'm going to get nothing done for the next year.
Well, I mean, that's why you
that's
guys...
got to be done.
Like the perfect match in that respect.
Felix and Oscar. That's great. But for me, for us, I drag Mike into mine. You know, I know God knows where all the oil is and knows where all the money's at, but he ain't going to tell me. If he tells Mike, I still get half because we're partners. So I say back, okay, he'll tell Mike, and I don't have to know. And we gotta go find it. And that these people that try to rip us off and fuck us to death, we gotta go protect ourselves. He won't take vengeance out or won't get what we got coming.
Yeah, if we do find it, it won't be ours.
Like this guy, he screwed Mike around royally. And now he's going to some of our partners. And all weekend, we didn't decide Friday what to do about him. You know, we kind of left it in gray. So all weekend, I was going, well, I said, I'm going to go beat the shit out of him. I'm going to sue him. I'm going to call him on the phone and just call him a fuckhead. We're going to do that guy, you know. I couldn't, you know, I just let go of it.
Why don't you just tell the truth?
I won't do all those things.
Well, but isn't the basic truth is that you're hurt because somebody that you had dealings with is...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really am. I think that I'm real hurt. $300,000.
Definitely was never in your pocket.
Okay, well, think about this. The whole idea of Jesus as Lord. It is so important that you be able to see that the place that you desire something can be different is the place where you have said Jesus isn't Lord.
That communicated with me.
It's really funny because in the business part of my work, some days it'll be really good. That's great. I ran the most I ever ran on Saturday. I ran $311 one day, and it's like 2 weeks he'll be there, it seems, and the next 2 weeks he won't be there.
Well, that's the time it takes people to get their haircuts.
I know. But for me, it's like, oh, then I panic, but I should in those moments it always seems things get taken care of.
Well, but it's important, though, that what you have to see is that when you panic or there's any fear, that it's not something to figure out, it's something to repent. To say, Father, forgive me for this. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, that whatever it is, whenever there's this kind of feeling, that's what you forget. You forget to say, Father, forgive me. Then you try to go about trying to take care of it. And it's the idea of... that we bring forth fruit necessary for repentance.
And the funny thing is, I can't take care of them. I mean, I don't have control over those people. I can't make them come in, so why am I getting all weird and, you know, if you have no control
over
them?
Right.
It's really wild because it kind of boils down to, you know, it's just like despising the weakness.
Right, that's exactly it.
Yeah, previously, whenever I've heard bring forth fruit, meet for repentance or necessary repentance, I've heard it like, do this. Go cut the lawn, and when you're finished cutting the lawn, bring forth. But I'm hearing it now as, this is what I do. And that's what I would change. That's where I think Jesus is not Lord. The things that I bring forth, that I see and hear, you know, the things that should cause me to repent are the things that I want to not do and say.
Right, that's exactly it. The things, like, it's like the things, like when I...
Well, the last example, the last clear example, is when you asked me to fax something on Friday. then called back 2 minutes later in the middle of faxing it to do something else, and then somebody came in and asked me to do something, and then somebody else wanted something,
and then I called you again.
And I just went nuts. And then, oh, and then you called me and said, what are you doing? It's like...
Yeah, but again, you have to understand that I know that, I mean, I'm doing that on purpose.
I know, but when you said to me, what have you been working on with... It was like, what?
Yeah, but I'm just waiting for you to say...
It was like total accusation.
I just want you to say something, don't you understand?
Well, I understand it now. But I don't, when I'm there, that's when I don't understand it. I just freak. I just...
Sure. And you say, and you say Jesus is not Lord.
Oh, right.
Okay, exactly. All I'm asking you to do is to say what's there.
But yeah, I understand that, and I'm not going to do that.
Well, you said you were going to do it the last time you understood
this.
Oh,
no, I didn't do it. See, I would change that. I said it a million times. Next time, I'll get it right.
I mean, an example of this is, I thought it was a funny story. The production manager, first day of the tour, everybody's just, and... Justin Hayward comes over to the production manager, just walks in, looks at everything, looks at the production manager, says, Mickey, come over here, I need to talk to you. And he's just going, oh, Christ. He says, four trucks, and he's going to give me the can, he's going to send me packing tomorrow. So he walks out, and they walk out, and he's just like getting all dressed up, and they go over to the corner, and he goes, is that any orange juice? I mean, this is everybody's reaction. So this is what I'm saying to, you know, the audience, to say, you can't...
I just got to remember that next time I start going.
Is there any orange juice?
Well, that's what he does.
Well, that's what he's doing.
I know. I know that. That's what he does. You fucking idiot.
But he calls me all those names back in here in his little closet.
And then Barbara gets mad at me.
It's not even his closet.
I'm in her fax, and she goes, oh, he's on the fax. I'm sending out fucking fax. And then Doug screwed it up, and the bells went off.
It's all life in the office.
It's all always fun.
Scary.
Okay, please, think of the areas. And again, I don't. I hate lists, but if you're going to have a list, if it's going to take it, you've got to empty that closet. You've got to... confess and see it as a confession where you don't see that Jesus is Lord.
That's something that's been wrong with me at times. Well, why aren't I married? Why aren't I like in a relationship? Why
well, if you, there wasn't anything wrong with you, you wouldn't be here. Do you get that through your skull?
Look at all of
okay.
Them. Yeah, but you can't. Also, the deflection of saying, I mean, that also says, well, I would be perfect except if it was. I mean, and that's denying all the that's that
it's not only Jesus is crystal. Lord, it's Jesus has been Lord, and Jesus will be Lord. There's no place, time, and time, past, present, or future, that he isn't. Now, if you can't see that, then that's why there's things, if there's a place in your life in the past that you can't get over or up or around, and it may be necessary that you see that. You know, he physically was there in control.
Maybe you're mad at him for it, but that's all right.
I mean, I feel like I have some conflict in terms of, you know, well, women are supposed to have, you know, men to take care of them. And, you know, for a long time I felt kind of like, I mean, this kind of diametrically opposed to what I was talking about earlier, but these conflicts go on, that, you know, well, I've taken care of, you know, I've raised a child by myself, I don't need a man. And you know, but well, yet there's that weakness, then there's... that fragility, you know, that everyone else has, you know.
But I don't see what that has to do with dating. And that's why I never could understand what's wrong with going out with somebody to have fun. I mean, it doesn't mean you're going to marry him on the first day.
That's right.
I mean, you can still grow with someone and talk and have fun with someone.
Yeah. You don't have to play a role. I mean, you can't be a woman in pursuit of a mate.
Well,
or
this
woman
is something that I've talked about, you know, lots of times it's the trusting thing where I'm waiting for someone else to open up. And that's just not just, you know, that's at work or any kind of stranger. I'm waiting for them to open up first and then it's okay for me, you know.
Well, then you're not the sign, then you're not the sign and the wonder.
Yeah,
you're just a black hole.
So just, again, you, just
in dating, that's what I mean.
Yeah, but in agreement, let's just be in agreement that you don't have to, all those previous definitions of yourself can be flushed, and you can just be you.
Yeah, because I don't have anything new for dating. You know, I haven't dated in a long time.
And you don't have to have any.
All I've got is this old stuff, you know, and yeah.
It's just all those definitions be gone and just be you.
Right.
Yeah? Okay, take it, big guy.